Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Dr. Kevin Kita. He is author of Healing Journeys, Stories of Mind, Body, and Spirit. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Many people suffer from health problems that are caused by past emotional traumas or thinking patterns, but often they do not have the understanding of the real underlying cause of their physical symptoms, so have no way to really begin to heal. In Healing Journeys, Stories of Mind, Body, and Spirit, Dr. Kevin Kita tells the stories of 6 patients and their journeys to health. He combines his knowledge of chiropractic with a variety of other techniques as well as his own intuition to offer us a fascinating look at the connection between our minds and our bodies. His unique storytelling style makes this much more than just a standard how-to book. It's beautifully illustrated by nationally renowned artist Jessica Krause, and it's an enjoyable and fascinating read. Dr. Kita is an award-winning author, international speaker, teacher, and blogger. He's been on numerous radio and television shows speaking on health and health-related issues. He has also spoken to many companies and groups regarding the benefits of chiropractic care. He is considered a chiropractor's chiropractor because there are many chiropractors that seek him out for care and professional advice. You can find out more by visiting his website, which is drkevinkita.com, and that's drkevinkita.com. And I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Kita to the show. Good day, sir.
Thank you very much.
I'm literally looking forward to chatting with you because there are so many people out there that are just don't feel right, you know, and you know, it's nice to be able to give people a different perspective of illness and maybe how they can help themselves. Let's start with, I usually like to have my guests kind of give a little bit more of a background about themselves. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners, why is it that you became a chiropractor?
Robert, as all things, everything's by accident, and literally myself becoming a chiropractor was an accident. I actually used to work for a major hotel chain, and one day I was driving home on a busy highway, and a car came across and hit my car and actually totaled my car. The policeman came and he was checking me out. I stepped out of the car, and I was kind of like looking around my body, making sure everything was in place. I felt fine. I'm fine, because they thought they were going to get an ambulance, and I said, no, I feel fine. But as weeks went on, about 3 weeks later, I was working at the hotel, and it was a Saturday, early afternoon, and I just felt horrible. I had such an excruciating headache. I have a pretty high pain threshold, but this was really bad. And also my neck was really in pain. So I actually left work early that day at about 4 o'clock, which was the first time ever I've done that. And this is like 10 years being there.
Wow.
So I went home, and I just laid in bed. And I was just moaning and groaning and so much pain. I mean, just excruciating pain. I didn't know what had happened. But I didn't even sleep all that night. I woke up Sunday morning at about, I got up 7 o'clock in the morning, you know, without really any sleep. And I called my general practitioner, and it was a Sunday. So I went to his office, and I had to get a ride there. I actually had to lay down, you know, how you recline the seats. I had to
lay down
in the passenger seat, you know, just flat, because I was just in such bad shape. So I went to the doctor's office. The doctor did all the checks. He checked my reflexes, checked my eyes, my blood pressure, my pulse, looked, you know, hooked in my mouth, was, you know, touching me to see where the area of tenderness was. So this was going on for about 45 minutes. And I said, you know, I was just kind of curious, you know, he's going on and on doing all these tests. And I said, what's wrong with me? And he said, I can't find anything. And I go, what do you mean you can't find anything? I am in so much pain. It's unbelievable. So what happened was he gave me a prescription for some painkillers. And I got the prescription filled, and I go, this isn't good, because, you know, anybody on painkillers, it's not good for your, your stomach, and it's very hard to function, you know, when you're on these things. So I took two of them, thinking it would cut some of the pain, and it didn't touch it at all. I was still in so much pain. So as days went on, and I only took two, because I said, this is, you know, I don't want to take these if they're not even going to work. So as days went on, my wife had suggested I go to a chiropractor. And I thought to myself, who the hell would want to go to a chiropractor for? Yeah, I mean, seriously, that was my thought pattern. And I thought, what's he going to do, check my feet? You know, that's what I thought a chiropractor was. I thought a chiropractor was like a podiatrist, you know. But anyway, I was in so much pain that I just relented, and I went to this chiropractor in my town. And as things happen, he happens to be one of the best chiropractors. His name is Dr. Arno Bernier, and he's considered like one of the best chiropractors in the world after I, you know, met him. So I go into his office, checks me out, he adjusts me, and the pain was gone. I would say 90% of the pain was gone after that first adjustment, and I was like in shock. I was in total shock. And as time went on, I really wasn't happy with my job, and I was thinking about changing careers. And Dr. Bernier taught me more about chiropractic and telling me about the philosophy that chiropractic really is. Chiropractic philosophy is different from any other healthcare practitioners, and that is that if you have a clear nervous system, if all the vertebrae are in place, the proper placement, and you have a clear nervous system, the brain will send the signals down the spinal cord through the spinal nerves, and your body will function at its optimum. So I thought, wow, this is pretty neat, you know, the philosophy. And then as time went on, I go, well, maybe I'll go back to school and I go to become a chiropractor. And one of the things I didn't know, I thought, you know, maybe a couple weekends of of classes, and, you know, I'd have my chiropractic degree. I thought it wasn't that big of a deal. But then I actually looked into it, and I go, oh, my gosh, this is like 5.5 years, because you have to take 2 years of science prereqs, and then three and a half years of chiropractic school. So it was a lot more involved than what I thought. And actually, a lot of people don't realize that, because, you know, I talk to people outside my office, and they go, you're not a real doctor. And I go, what do you mean you're not I'm not a real doctor? Our requirements are actually more than a medical doctor's. We actually do more course hours than they do. The one major difference between chiropractic degree, a doctor of chiropractic degree, and a medical doctor is that we take nutrition courses and they take pharmacology courses.
That says a lot right there.
Right. And then the other thing is to become a chiropractor, you have to pass 4 national board tests and then also pass your state licensure test. So it's pretty rigorous. And that's how I became a chiropractor, literally by a car accident.
Wow. You know, one of those, quote, accidents that seem
right.
to happen that kind of really take you on a completely different path. And, so many people, kind of have that happen. And now, with you and, that delayed reaction that you had, is that kind of common? Have you, in your practice, is that kind of something that happens regularly?
With car accidents, I tell my friends and I'll tell your audience, yourself, that if you're in a car accident, always, always take the information down of the other person, because what usually happens, if you've been in a car accident, your body will go into shock, or your adrenaline is so high that it will block any pain that you're actually feeling.
Oh.
And you might not feel the effects of the accident 1-2 days later, in my case, 3 weeks later. So it's really important to get, if you're ever in a car accident, to get the information of the other person, because even if it's just a little bump, you'd be surprised at how that can affect your spinal column and your nervous system. And I've seen a lot of delayed, different traumas, falls, or, it doesn't have to necessarily be car accidents. I've had people come in and I told them, they would be like 30 years old. And I said, this is going back to when you're a child, when you're like 9, when you fell off your bicycle. And they go, why is that trauma now showing itself in my body now, 20-some years later? And I said, because when you're younger, you can compensate for any, falls or any traumas. But as you get older, you lose some of your muscle mass, and you can't compensate for that. So that accident that you had just slowly then shows itself. It's kind of like, it's like an iceberg. You see the iceberg above the water, but you don't see what's underneath it. So it's pretty common to have delays.
That is something. Now, you are different than many other chiropractors. Doing, with the book, healing journeys. That's that in itself, when you talk about the mind, body, and spirit together, that, kind of sets you apart a bit from most, I would think. So, but would you mind explaining to listeners what your philosophy is and how that may differ from other chiropractors?
What I do that makes myself different than most chiropractors is that I don't do the heavy thrusting, the cracking, popping. I actually use an instrument called the arthrostim, and this arthrostim, with the arthrostim, you can adjust any bone in the body because it has adjustable tips. And part of the arthrostim is it has a certain frequency, 12 to 14, it pulses 12 to 14 times per second. And, what's the importance of that? That's the equivalent of what's called the Schumann frequency. I'm not sure if you know what the Schumann frequency is, but the Schumann frequency.
No, I don't.
Schumann frequency is what's considered the healing frequency. And also with this frequency, what it does, it relaxes the body, so then the bones can gently be put back into place without that heavy thrusting. It's such a soft soft general adjustment that most people will go, you know, how are you going to adjust me with this thing? And I go, trust me, it will be the most powerful adjustment you ever get. And sure enough, you know, they go, oh my gosh, you know, I feel totally different after the adjustment. The other thing with my adjusting technique is that you adjust the cranial bones which make up the skull. Most people don't realize that those bones can misalign and cause undue pressure on your brain, because your skull, a lot of people don't know this, your skull actually moves. It moves slightly, very slightly, in and out with the with your respiratory rate. So it's kind of like you can't see it, but your skull will move in and out. But if some of these bones are misaligned, the cranial bones, you'll have really some traumatic illnesses, headaches, migraine headaches, cluster headaches, hormonal problems, even facial paralysis for that matter. I mean, a multitude of things. The other thing of what I do differently, I mean, that's the technique part of it, but the other part that I do differently than a lot of other chiropractors is that I also can detect if the problem, the health problem, is an emotional trauma. And I do that with my own intuition. And the importance, but, well, one time I was given a talk at actually my chiropractic school, Sherman Chiropractic College down in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
I go there all the time, Spartanburg. As soon as I saw Sherman, it's like, oh, I know several people who have gone to Sherman. So, yeah.
So I was talking to a bunch of students in one of the classes. It was their technique class, their adjusting technique class. So I was talking about the technique I use and how it's different, but how I also incorporate if there's an emotional cause. So at the end of my talk, somebody asked me, goes, you know, why is it important that you find out that if it's an emotional cause? And what I said was, would you like to keep going, you know, getting adjusted in the same area of the body if it was an emotional cause? Because what will happen if you have an emotional trauma or a cause behind a certain vertebra or bone misaligning, it's always going to misalign. So no matter how many times you adjust that, it's going to misalign because somebody's under emotional stress. You know, the emotional stress is going to override any type of adjustment you get. So then the student goes, oh, that makes a lot of sense. So, and that's pretty much why I feel I'm different than most other chiropractors. I do help other chiropractors about, you know, finding the calls, you know, the emotional calls. But I think a lot of people that I've taught, they get a little scared because they think they're going to come up with the wrong answer or something. And I tell them, if you are trying to help the person out that's in front of you, the answer will always or usually be right, because you're trying to help that person out. And that's one of the main things that I do that's differently. And B.J. Palmer, the founder of chiropractic, he actually wanted to incorporate the emotional. See, what happens is chiropractors adjust these things called subluxation. Subluxation is a fancy word for when a vertebra moves out of place, out of its regular place, causing pressure on the nervous system, on the spinal nerve or the nervous system. Now, these subluxations happen. There's three major causes: physical, you know, say a car accident; chemical, which could be a nutritional deficiency, so your body is just not, the muscles are weak, or you have other toxins in the body causing you not to be able to digest foods correctly, and that's causing some of the bones to misalign because you're just weak. And then the third and the major cause, I feel is the major cause, but most people don't address, is any emotional stress. And B.J. Palmer, the founder, he was the one that, you know, came up with these three major factors causing subluxations. But in his lifetime, he's never come up with a good way of finding out the emotional stress. That's a long answer to.
I really appreciate that. I mean, there's a lot of information in there that I had no ideas about it. I mean, the cerebral, movement. I mean, I had absolutely no idea about that. Now I can see myself every time I'm going to breathe, I'm going to be thinking about my my bones up there, kind of moving.
Right.
But there was we have a listener in the chat room, and he was talking about with his chiropractor, you know, never really kind of went out to be beyond her capability. She didn't take that little extra step, you know, of beyond, I guess, just a typical type of treatment. And, you know, there was he got it to a particular point where she couldn't, I mean, she was kind of at that, you know, that was at that, there was all, she did everything that she could do. You know, there wasn't anything. What you're saying is that, you know, with those people that you talked to at Sherman, you know, the idea of, getting at or trying to identify an emotional basis for some of the things that are out of alignment, you know, and since you follow your intuition, you know, that's obviously going to help you be able to identify the emotions. So do you find that, you know, the in general, you know, some of the people that you deal with, maybe even if it's the beginners, you know, so to speak, that, you know, the idea of using their intuition and helping in a treatment is something that they wouldn't have considered or maybe a little bit hesitant to do?
You're talking about the other chiropractors?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a real good question because that's actually happened a lot. When I used to, you know, help other chiropractors, and I said, you really need to learn the emotion, you know, that a lot of times there's an emotional cause. But what happens is a lot of chiropractors get very fearful or scared, like I said before, that, you know,
mm-hmm.
Number one, they think that they'll be looked at as very, whatever, kooky or crazy or, you know, weird,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
which is kind of funny because most people that come in my office, they go, you know, I say, you know, I ask them and go, you know, how'd you hear about me? And go, I was referred by so-and-so and I heard you're a different kind of chiropractor. And, you know, my joke is, you know, should I take that as a compliment or,
uh-huh.
you know,
yeah.
different as how, like weird or whatever. But trying to help out other people in my profession, they get scared. They don't want to, you know, because, you know, they get fearful because they think they're going to be wrong.
Right.
Go there and with the emotional cause.
Yeah, I
guess because, you know, the things that I'm talking to you about are things that are not taught in chiropractic school.
Mm-hmm.
And these
yeah.
things are definitely not going to be on the national board test or any state exam because it's way beyond
typical
the
comprehension, protocol kind of stuff.
You know,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't look in the anatomy book, you know, Grey's Anatomy, and they go, there's a list of emotions or how to detect emotions and what emotions, you know, what they can cause. But that's pretty much why I think a lot of chiropractors don't really want to do that. It's out of fear. And the other thing is they don't feel that, you know, they see what I tell people that come in my office too, they go, you know, people will come up to me and they go, gosh, I wish I was intuitive like you. But, you know, I'm telling you this, Robert, and I'm telling your audience this. Everybody is intuitive. Everybody's intuitive. It's just that I do this like every day. So it's kind of like going, you know, working a certain muscle when you go to the health club. So I've worked my intuition and developed it and increased my intuition, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, stronger than when I first began. But everybody has intuition. The problem is that we block it out. And how we block out, how we block our intuition out is by our ego. You know, and our ego will always pop up and say, you know, why would I tell somebody about an emotional thing? Because I'll probably be wrong. Or sometimes the answer that comes to me is totally off the wall. You know,
yeah.
Where like somebody comes to my office and said, you know, picking up something with your cat, and you know. What's your? I mean, this. I tell him. I go. This sounds funny, but what's your relationship with your cat? And they go, oh my God, you know, you're right. And my cat is very sick. It's been causing me a lot of stress. So everybody's intuitive. You just kind of develop it. You have to. The main thing about being intuitive, and actually to be. It's interesting. Intuitive is really inspiration, and inspiration, intuition is being very present in the present moment, and that's how you'll get. That's how you gain your intuition, increase it, I should say. But a lot of people don't. They don't get into that space of being present. You know, there's always this chatter. You know, they always have to do this or that. So when people come to my office, I really stay present with any patient that comes to my office so I can help them out to the fullest. And, of course, then when I'm like that, then my intuition comes out.
Yeah. Well, that's great. It's great to be able to draw from that because, you know, that particular emotional basis and for, you know, really, I mean, the whole body, mind, spirit, you know, interaction, you know, really does. I mean, that's key to what manifests. And now, the person who's in the chat room, who I mentioned that, you know, they had the chiropractor who didn't kind of go outside of her capabilities. Now, here's a question, and I will just start by saying, you know, no medical advice, you know, going to be given. But this is, he had an interesting question, and, well, let me read to you what he said, and then kind of why I wanted to pose that to you. And he had fractured his C3 right vertebrae. It says, gone now, they want to fuse my neck from base of skull to C6 vertebrae. And I thought, when I read that, I thought, oh, my God, you know, I mean, the idea of fusing, the neck, you know, basically, and I just thought, I remembered where you were talking about the vibrational aspect that you use versus the cracking of the bones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read that, you know, the idea of fusing, like, to me, that sounds dramatic, you know what I mean? Or
it's very dramatic, and it's is that the whole question? Is there more to the question?
No, that was basically what he had written, and he was just kind of curious as to whether that seemed like a logical thing, I guess.
Well, everybody always asks me questions. They come in my office, they ask me questions about surgery, or they ask me questions about the meds that they're taking. Number one, I don't know anything about meds.
Okay.
I will tell, you know, what I do tell people is that, I have not taken any sort of drug in, 1988, I think was the last time I took like a Tylenol. Because every drug has a side effect, and that's
mm-hmm. Right.
Every drug has a side effect, and that's the quote by Eli Lilly, the famous pharmacist, I guess. The other thing with drugs is a lot of people don't know this or realize this, that it's about 95% of the drugs that are out there, the side effect that can occur is actually the thing you're trying to get rid of. So, for instance, if you take a Tylenol, you look on the Tylenol bottle, one of the side effects is going to be headache. You know, and
okay.
So a lot of these meds are, the side effect is actually the thing you're trying to get rid of. And I tell people that come in my office, I'm not going, you need to talk to your medical doctor about the meds because I have no idea anything about that. Plus, that's just not my scope of practice. Concerning the surgery, it's the same type of thing. I don't, you have to make your own educated choice. But when people ask me about surgery, I always tell them that you should do everything else possible before you have any type of surgery, because once you change the structure of the body, you will change the function. The body will not function the same way. So you have limitations. You'll have, when you fuse the neck, you'll have definitely have limitations in the range of motion of the neck.
Right.
But the other thing is, everything's connected. So if the neck is fused, you could start having low back problems. You could start having shoulder or arm problems or finger problems. Because especially with the neck, a lot of people, one of the interesting things that happened was a lot of pregnant women would get carpal tunnel syndrome. And, pregnant women are just not type, they're not all typists.
Mm-hmm.
I don't repeat it. And what they found out is the reason why a lot of pregnant women will get carpal tunnel syndrome is because their center of gravity is changing, because they have a lot more weight on their stomach. So as that weight increases, it also puts more pressure on the back, but it also changes the position of your neck. So what would happen is there would be nerve interference, putting pressure on the nerves on the neck, and then that causes the numbness in the hand. A lot of people get carpal tunnel syndrome surgery, and it's really not in the wrist; it's actually in the neck.
It would make sense to try to do as much as you can. Have surgery be a last resort. In this particular individual in the chat room, I know he does a lot of energy work. That's kind of, he's one of those who just is very aware of and sensitive to the importance of of energy. So that's the kind of thing that he was doing, and that, I just think that because that part of the C3 was gone, it's like, okay, now what do you do? Do you get a 3D printer and plant another one?
Right.
And of course, I guess that would, that kind of starts you into the whole biotics, bionics. But anyway,
right. The other thing is, one of the easiest things everybody can do is to make sure they're hydrated. There are a lot of health problems because people don't drink enough water. So, for instance, even if this person's having neck problems, a lot of times the disc that's in between each vertebra, if somebody's dehydrated, that disc will shrink a little bit, and that will put pressure on the nerves, whether it be your neck, your lower back, or any other part of your spinal column. So if you rehydrate, a lot of times these pains will go away because the disc then comes back to its normal size. And that's a very easy, easy way to improve your health just by drinking more water. One of the keys to drinking more water is to make sure the type of water you drink is room temperature water or warm water, because that absorbs in the body much easier.
Okay.
If you drink distilled water, there's no minerals in it, and it just goes right through you. The other thing is, if you drink cold water or ice water, it just shocks the body, and you just end up going to the bathroom. But I've had a lot of people come in to my office. I would say people that come in for the first time, I would say at least 90% of the people that come in are dehydrated. And once they rehydrate, they feel a lot better. But, of course, they also need to be adjusted so then the vertebra is back on top of the disc. The other thing is, when you're dehydrated, the muscles, tendons, and ligaments tighten up. You know, they're not so pliable, so they tighten up, and that will cause the vertebra to misalign and cause subluxation. The other thing with hydration is that a lot of people get very tight, and they think they're arthritis, or they're getting older and they're losing their flexibility. But really, what it is they're dehydrated. So that's one other thing I would tell this person.
Okay. Well, great. Well, he's listening and saying thank you. So great. I want to take just a quick break here, Dr. Kito, and then when we come back, let's go ahead and start talking a little bit more about your book. In your book, you talk about six major emotions that you believe you've seen have caused most of the health problems in your patients. So maybe we can talk about a couple of those when we come back, okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
Great. Okay, great. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back. And if you have any questions you'd like to ask Dr. Kito, feel free to call in at 619-789-4359. And also in the chat room, again, if anyone else would like to ask any questions, feel free to type them in. And we'll be right back.
This is Robert Sharp from Bringing Inspiration to Earth. There are several ways for a win-win situation where you can support our work and you receive a quality product. You can purchase the book or ebook of Joy Potential or It's No Secret Spirituality Bites. Each book has helped readers shift their perspective away from negativity towards a happier, less stressful life. Or you can shop at our wellness store, where we offer essential oils, personal care, and wellness products. I am a very frugal shopper, and these are high-quality items I use that really contribute to my well-being. Or you can purchase our amazing nature photo greeting cards. These are great, all-occasion, unique 5x7 folding cards. They're my most popular nature photos, and everyone who has received one raves about the scene. All options are available at our website, www.biteradio.me, and I am very appreciative of your support of our efforts and the work of our special radio guests.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And again, like I said in that spot, I really do appreciate you supporting our guests. And if you go to Amazon.com and look up Dr. Kito's book, you'll see that he has many, many wonderful, positive reviews about his book, Healing Journeys, Stories of Mind, Body, and Spirit. And I know that whenever I have seen such wonderful reviews for books, that many people have found it to be very, very beneficial. So definitely check that out. Again, my very special guest is Dr. Kevin Kito. And again, like I said, he is author of Healing Journeys, Stories of Mind, Body, and Spirit. And again, you can find out more by visiting his website, which is drkevinkito.com. And again, there is a direct link to his website in the show page description. So with that, we're back. Dr. Kito.
So Let me talk more about, you know, my book, Healing Journey, Stories of Mind, Body, and Spirit. It's funny, the book really came out by accident, too.
A lot of positive accidents happening.
Right. There
ultimately.
Are no accidents. Right, there are no accidents, there's no coincidences.
Right.
So what happened was, I was telling a few of my patients about the different stories that have happened in my office, and they go, wow, these are like really good stories. Maybe you ought to write a book. And I thought to myself, I don't have the faintest idea of how to write a book. And my writing skills, they've increased. I mean, they're a lot better, but it's pretty funny because when I went to college, the one course that I had to take that was remedial was English and writing. So this proves that you can, write a book even though you weren't a great writer, years ago. But anyway, Healing Journeys, Stories of Mind, Body, and Spirit, it finally came about. And what the book is about, it's about the six major emotions that I find in my office. And these six emotions, anger, fear, criticism, resentment, unforgiveness, and self-esteem, those are the six major emotions I see in my office. And so the book is outlined in six chapters, and each chapter is dedicated to one of those emotions. In each chapter, there's a true story about that particular emotion. And the other thing about the book is at the end of each chapter, there are tools or exercises for you to help with that certain emotion. The other thing about the book is not medically, there's no medical jargon, there's none of those $100 words, and it's very simple to read. I literally rewrote this book 24 times.
Wow, yeah.
Sure, that it was very simple and easy to read for anybody. I mean, I've had teenagers read this book, and they go, wow, I really like this book because it's, like, really easy to read. Because you can sit down, it's a short book, you can sit down and read the book probably in a few hours. But it's purposely for any lay person. It's not, medical doctor, even chiropractors, or you don't need your PhD to read this book. So it's a very simple and easy to read book. The other thing about the book is that most people will use it as kind of a manual.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people in my office and say, I had to reread the chapter on anger.
Right. I was going to say that, what it sounds like is that whenever anyone encounters any one of those negative emotions or those emotions that are that can create negative content, it sounds like, that's a go-to. I can go to anger, or, man, I'm really fearful about this. I can go to that section and find out a tool to help me get through this.
Well, right. And, I've had people come up to me and go, I must have read your book like 30 times, just over and over. And, and when the book finally got launched, and since it's a short book, people, bought it. And then a week later, they would come in my office and Robert, some of the people literally came in my office and they were like crying.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, my God, the book is that bad.
What did they do?
do you want your money back or something? And they said, no, they said the book had touched them in a certain place, because a lot of the stories kind of resonate differently with everybody. Like a certain chapter resonated with whatever Mary is, a certain chapter resonated with Tom, and they said they found that, they needed to get rid of these negative emotions because that was the negative emotions was not letting them move forward in their life. So that was like, oh, my God. You talk about endorsements, or you talk about you know, you've written a book, so when you write something,
mm-hmm.
that you have a positive impact on somebody, and that's kind of with this book, it's helped out a lot of people. I mean, that's the thing I'm most proud of.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that is, you know, and when you share, you know, the stories, and particularly if you share them in the way that you did, you know, those, even though, you know, the person that you're talking about, even though situations may not be exact, the basic emotion is there. I mean, that's like that one underlying current, you know, and people can, I'm sure, easily identify with that. And whenever, you know, whenever you do have, you know, that kind of reaction where you know going through and editing it 24 times was worth it, you know, because,
right.
you know, the bottom line is that it was understandable and it was an effect and it was effective. So, and like I say, you know, looking at the reviews on Amazon, you have some wonderful, wonderful comments. So, you know, obviously, you know, it resonates well with many, many people because, I mean, it's, you know, it's difficult to get 1, 2, 3 reviews, but you've got many. So people, obviously, it made a difference.
Yeah, I was I was, you know, shocked at the positive. I mean, so many positive
yeah.
reviews and people coming into my office, people outside my office, just tell me how much they love the book. Because that's
yeah.
very. I mean, when you write something or you do something like that, you're really putting yourself out there. You know, it's funny. I was talking to. Women's group, and I said, you know, when I was writing the book, I was like, you know, just full of fear of whether it was really, you know, worth it for me to take all this time to write this book, publish it, and get the word out about Healing Journeys, Stories of Mind, Body, and Spirit. So one of the ladies goes, you should have read your book and read the chapter on fear.
There you go. There you
yeah,
go.
I go, yeah, you're right.
yeah. Well, you know, let's. Gosh, we've got like about 15 minutes left, so I want to, if maybe we can talk about maybe one or two of the emotions that you found that are the biggies. You know what I mean? That you know, so what would out of the six that you mentioned, what are like the two top? Most common, you know, emotional-based issues that people come to you with?
The two major ones are self-esteem and forgiveness. So in self-esteem,
really?
So,
huh. I did not pick those two. So
yeah.
That's good. So I mean, tell us about that.
So in the case of self-esteem, everybody will always feel some sort of low self-esteem, you know, one time or another in their life. And I can prove that because what's the thing that people fear the most? The number one thing that people fear the most is public speaking. Public speaking is actually over death. So you're more fearful of public speaking than rather being, you know, dying.
Yeah.
And why are we all scared of public speaking? It's because we're afraid, you know, when we speak in front of a group, we're going to say something wrong, we're going to be, you know, whatever, be nervous, stuttering, or so that's one example of low self-esteem. But a lot of, you know, there's people that will come in my office and you would be shocked. You know, some people that come in my office, they look like models. Literally, actually, a couple of these people were actual models, literally, you know, fashion models. And you would think, oh my gosh, they would have like such high self-esteem, but they actually suffered from low self-esteem. And the reason why was because everything was based on their looks.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So if they didn't look in the mirror and then feel, they would feel like they were never perfect enough. and myself looking at these people and going, oh my gosh, you're like,
you're a 10.
You know, and you know, I'm the one that should be having this self, you know, the lower view of myself. But that can cause a lot of problems, low self-esteem, and that is, you know, one of the main things with low self-esteem. People just, you know, they just don't love themselves.
Yeah.
So in the book, I do have an exercise in the book to increase your self-esteem. And one of the exercises is in the morning and at night. So in the morning, you look in the mirror, straight in the mirror, into your eyes, and you say, I love myself how I am presently. I love and accept myself how I am presently. And you say that 3 times in the morning, because that's a good way to start your day, and 3 times at night, so then you can sleep on it. But you have to look directly in the mirror, right at your eyes. And when I've given talks about this, people will say, oh, I could never do that. You know, I could never, like, look in the mirror and do it. And I go, well, you probably want to do it because you don't want to do it, because it's one of these things. You know, the things you avoid are the, you know, the absolute thing that you really need to do. So that's one of the exercises. And that can cause some chronic illnesses if you suffer from low self-esteem. And the other one, forgiving, that's a major one. That's the number one out of the 6 emotions. And the reason why I say that is because every person that has come in my office that has had diagnosed with cancer or has had cancer, there was a forgiveness issue, a forgiveness over somebody in their past, or they had to forgive themselves. You know, a lot of times, you know, we're all very self-critical, or we think we made a mistake and we can't forgive ourselves because the mistake was so big. But in the bigger picture, if you don't forgive yourself, you're actually hurting your health. Why would forgiveness happen in cancer patients or cancer people with cancer is because when you have in your body, you'll have healthy cells, but you'll have cancerous cells, right? So there's like a separation of the cells in your body. Now what happens outside your body, you have a relationship that's broken. So even the relationship with yourself, that can be broken. So you have a healthy relationship with yourself and a broken relationship. But, you know, or you have a broken relationship with your mother. So you're on one side, and your mother's on the other. You have healthy cells, cancerous cells. Healthy relationship, broken relationship. So I've had people, as soon as they forgive, their health has increased dramatically. I mean, to the point.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying for everybody, but
cancer. No, no. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I have personally, I know of an example where, you know, that was very much the case with someone in my family. Very, very unforgiving person. I mean, it was sad. I mean, to me, I was, you know, and even on her deathbed, couldn't, you know, and she died of cancer. I mean, it riddled her body. And, you know, and it was just, I mean, it was, and I just saw that. It was, and to me, it was like, come on, you know, can't you see this connection, you know? And, but it wasn't. And,
I think the reason behind, you know, when people hold on to not forgiving somebody, it's because they think they have to forget. It's two totally different things. If I said to you, Robert, can you loan me $10,000? And you go, oh, yeah, sure, and I'll pay you back in 6 months. Well, 6 months comes by, and I won't pay you back the $10,000. Well, and then I say, can you loan me $10,000 more? And you go, you didn't forget about the first $10,000. You know, and yeah, you're not going to make the same mistake twice.
Right.
But,
right,
you know, you would have to, you know, eventually, unfortunately, you would probably have to forgive me, but not forget about that and not let this
right
thing happen again.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I think the other thing is when people think that, for you know, forgiving somebody means you're a doormat.
Right.
It doesn't mean,
yeah.
Yeah, that's, like I said, that's the major emotion I see.
Yeah. Well, guys, we're down to the last 5 minutes here, Dr. Kita. This is really, time has just flown by. But in the last few minutes that we have, what is it that you want people to take away, you know, from reading your book? I mean, what is it that you hope people, you know, when they finish it, that they actually internalize and do what?
Well, hopefully they pick up the book and read the book and then see how it really pertains to their life. And in the book, you can see how detrimental these negative emotions are, you know, to your life, but also your health. I mean, what I do every morning is before I get to work or, you know, even if any day, I wake up early and I will kind of take inventory of where, you know, if there's any negative emotions that are, you know, that I'm feeling, like fear, anger, or, you know, one of those. And so then I pinpoint that. It doesn't happen that often because I've been doing this, you know, for a long time. But if something like that comes up, I will, you know, quickly, you know, let it go and work on it. So with a book, you can read the stories and use the exercises or the tools in back of each chapter because they're very easy things to do.
Okay, well, that's great. And, you know, and like I said, I'm sure many have, and obviously you've had that experience, people come into your office with that. And you know, to me, I really enjoy it when an author provides a practical way to apply, you know, the information that they give. And so the tools in the back of each of those chapters, to me, that's probably, in my opinion, you know, the most valuable aspect of the book, to be able to help people, you know, apply that to their lives and make their lives better.
Yeah, I think that's, probably the most powerful thing about the book.
Well, thank you very much for your time today, Dr. Kita. I've really enjoyed our chat, you know, and there are a lot of things I've learned, and to me that's a wonderful show when I learn a lot. So I really want to thank you for your time.
Well, that's good. Thanks for having me, Robert. It was my pleasure. The time went by so quickly. I can't believe it's over already. I just hope your listening audience learn some things that they didn't know before they listened to me.
That's great. Okay. Well, and now on social media, where are you on social media?
I actually have a Facebook fan page, Dr. Kevin Kita's Chiropractic Center. Actually, the easiest thing to really do is you go on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay, great.
You know, they can Google my name. I have YouTube videos if they really want to see, you know, what I, you know, really do.
Okay.
And, you know, they can...
Great. So they can just Google you, and they
right
catch you on all of those platforms. Well, I'm going to make sure that
right
we connect, too, so I can keep in touch and keep my learning process going as well.
Sounds good.
Okay, great. Well, thank you again. Everyone, again, today my very special guest has been Dr. Kevin Kita, and he is author of Healing Journeys, Stories of Mind, Body, and Spirit. And again, you can find out more by visiting his website, which is drkevinkita.com. And again, I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.